I'm Dan O'Neill. I was discharged 3 days ago at 11:30 p.m. I had not gotten no paperwork, nor was able to talk to a worker. The justice system in this whole process isn't doing anything or anybody any deed or needs. I've been now homeless and back in stairwells again for the last 3-4 days. I don't understand how Landlord-Tenant Act says that they can't kick you out, but they have to have a 60-day process, and here they're just releasing people into the streets again.
I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. This is part one of the series Decommissioning the Novotel. The City of Toronto announced that it will be closing its temporary shelter at the 45 Esplanade by the end of 2022, according to a press release. The city writes that its owners of the building, the Novotel, want to resume regular hotel operations in 2023. Temporary shelters were initially established in early 2021 amid a surge in COVID-19 cases that left buildings vacant. New admissions to the Novotel were closed on October 12th, and its decommissioning will affect about 280 unhoused people. This will be the third temporary shelter hotel to be decommissioned this year. This will leave about 25 temporary shelters in Toronto, which are all supposed to be gradually decommissioned as well by the spring of 2023. The press release also reads that there are future plans to introduce more affordable units in an attempt to provide more permanent housing for individuals. Also, the city's operating partner, Homes First Society, says that they will work with residents to develop relocation plans, which include transition to permanent housing or a move to another shelter. All resident relocations are expected to be completed by December 31st. Homes First Society also circulated letters to residents in the hotel. It states that the residents may have these three opportunities. First, supportive housing prioritized through the city's coordinated access approach. Second, rent geared to income housing through My Access Housing TO. And third, provide private housing. If residents are eligible, they can receive a financial subsidy through the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit. In another letter, Homes First also writes that relocations of residents will begin immediately to ensure a smooth transition. Both letters mention that staff will be available on a 24/7 basis. However, one housing advocate says that what is outlined in the letters is inconsistent with what is being communicated to residents by the Novotel staff. Gru has been unhoused since 2014 and has firsthand experience in Toronto's shelter system and the Novotel.
My name is Gru. I've been unhoused in Toronto since the winter of 2014. Over the course of the pandemic, ended up taking on more of a visible role in speaking out about homelessness in Toronto and advocating for the city as well as the province and the federal government to start doing more for our unhoused neighbors. Some of those may still have some law enforcement activity around them, and so I can't be too open with them, unfortunately. Although it's fairly well known that I was at all four of the Incamany Vixens last summer, as well as things like ESN's serving of injunctions to John Tory in February of last year, and a variety of other actions over the past 18 months or so around the encampments, around homelessness in general. The organizations that I generally have worked with over the last year and a half have been the Encampment Support Network, Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, and Bike Brigade.
He says the city has been unclear about its relocation plans and how the evicted will be cared for when affordable housing supply is almost non-existent.
They have now announced that they are decommissioning just the 45 The Esplanade shelter by the end of this year. And so those letters that I forwarded on to you that are circulating through the Novotel Shelter Hotel are sort of the first step towards evicting the 200 and we're now down to 243 residents, although that's a pretty steep decline from even just a week ago when we were at 260 residents. And so there's a lot of sort of pointing Spider-Mans on this, of almost passing the buck. The shelter provider itself, Homes First, is claiming that the city has made a decision to decommission the site. The city in turn says, oh, Homes First is like can sort of handle this however they see fit until the end of the year when the lease comes up. And you never really get like a straight answer from any of the official sources.
Mm-hmm. I know there's one part of it I'd like to know more about. What is the city, like, in your opinion, what does the city mean when they say that following these closures, people are being relocated?
So part of the press release that the city put out on Tuesday was that they are moving congregate shelters back from the 2-meter lateral separation that activists and advocates went to court to force them to go to. We're moving back from that 2-meter separation to 1.25-meter separation. And so a lot of the relocations are going to be back into congregate settings at the exact time that COVID is entering its, I believe, 8th wave here in Ontario, although I've lost track of how many waves, and it feels like it's just one massive tsunami that keeps hitting us. But we're going into this winter, and the city has basically said we're going to pack people into the congregate shelters as tightly as we possibly can. And if people get sick, so be it.
Further, Gru questions the city's decisions on moving more individuals into other congregate shelters, especially as the threat of long COVID persists. This is in response to the city's plans to increase capacity by an additional 500 beds in shelters. This will be implemented gradually, with some health measures like bed separations in place. To accommodate these additional beds, the distance between them will be reduced from 2 meters to 1.25 meters.
Now they're going back to congregate shelters that there's not really kind of really going to be that bit of separation that we saw before with these types of hotels.
I'm furious. It's such a microcosm of our society in general right now that every level of government has said, "Oh, COVID is over. It's no big deal." And yet, when you look around at the people who are most likely to be affected by it, we have something like 150 outbreaks in the long-term care homes. We are going to have outbreaks in every single homeless shelter across this city as a guaranteed thing. There's no getting around that. Shelters have always been hotbeds of disease, and with this virus in particular, because it spreads so rapidly, there's just no way to get around the fact that people are going to get really sick. Honestly, the bigger concern for me is that unhoused people, as a general rule, are disproportionately disabled to begin with, and nobody really comes out of homelessness without a disability. But Now we're just throwing on another one. We're saying, oh, now you can also have a 1 in 4 chance of ending up with long COVID. And we don't actually know yet what the long-term ramifications of that are going to be. And so it just seems like a really callous approach by the city to say, we're going to close down these spaces that have been safer. They're still not great, and that is a thing for a whole other interview probably. In fact, I've done full interviews in the past on how even these shelter hotels are still not ideal, and we actually need housing offers instead of this sort of half measure of individual rooms in the shelters. But if all that we're going to get is half measures, then by God, do the shelter hotels instead of the congregate shelters.
Gru says sleeping outside and tent encampments will continue to be the only choice for many unhoused people, especially with personal safety not regulated by the shelters and the lack of space for individuals in them each night.
Yes. So Toronto, this gets into a bit of a larger story in that Toronto is becoming unaffordable for everyone. And it's not just about the 10,000 people who are homeless in this city who can't find a pathway to housing. Anybody who works a minimum wage job or even a $20 an hour job is having difficulty finding a place to call home that they can afford. And I still hold to the definition of affordability that is a third of your income on your housing expenses. No one in this city who works a service job or retail job or any of the jobs that keep this city running, your cafe barista, your courier, your waitress or waiter in the restaurants, or even for that matter, your chefs. None of the people who make this city worth living in are actually able to afford to live here. And so when the city says, move from the encampments into these shelters and we'll find you a pathway to housing, the question has always been from day one, what housing? Because there isn't any available in this city that is affordable for people who have been priced out.
And I guess right now that when we've mentioned the lack of supply for affordable housing, that, you know, there's not really a definition for relocation. In your opinion, where do you think the city expects these people to go now?
I expect the city, I believe that the city expects us to go die. That's what this ends up looking like to me. Dickens wrote in the mid 1700s, I think, if the poor don't want to go to the jails and the workhouses, if the poor would rather die than go to the jails and the workhouses, then they should hurry up and do so and decrease the surplus population. And I don't think that John Tory has changed at all, or changed his sort of like view of the world at all since reading that passage from A Christmas Carol. And he's now showing his inner Scrooge when the organization under his control says, we're going to close this shelter in time for Christmas. In terms of, you know, where the city is going to claim that they want us to go, they're going to tell us you can go back to the congregate shelters or find market rent apartments. And they've already said this in that letter that I sent to you, that the options going forward are going to be moving to a different shelter, or go and find market rate housing using the Canadian Ontario Housing Benefit, that's COHB. It's actually only eligible for people who have been on the street for 6 months. The eligibility on it is relatively strict, as far as I know, at least. And I could be wrong on that. And maybe shelter residents actually are eligible for a COHB, but what I've heard from caseworkers is that we are not.
The weather's getting a lot colder. For the people who are listening here who may be dealing with being unhoused, I guess, like, what services are available to them that you recommend or what they can do right now?
The problem is that there isn't much in the way of services in this city. There are services, but they're all at capacity or operating even beyond capacity. It's virtually impossible right now to get into a shelter. Our drop-in spaces have been defunded to oblivion, effectively. I think the only thing that I could suggest is band together with your neighbors, both housed and unhoused alike, and just try and ride out the storm. This winter is going to be incredibly rough, I think, between the city putting all of these people out onto the street, and then just the weather looking like it's going to be a harsher winter than usual. Do your best to look out, to care for each other, to look out for each other, because the propaganda from early in the pandemic about we are all in this together and we will only get through it together is absolutely true. The only way that we get through this together is collectively. And until we can start to organize some sort of a resistance to the sort of systems that are in place around housing, all that we can do is keep each other alive.
CGRU has been in contact with Homes First regarding the closure of the 45 Esplanade. However, no response was given to multiple requests for comment. The city released its Toronto Winter Plan on November 7th. And while it did provide plans for more beds and shelter spaces, the decommissioning of temporary shelters will continue, and the introduction of warming centers will be capped at 60, which is down by 4 last year. More details to come. That was part 1 of the series Decommissioning the Novotel. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative,